All right. Good to see you this morning. Take your Bibles and let's turn to Jeremiah chapter number 2 to begin with. We're going to be taking a look at a couple of passages here in the book of Jeremiah. As we think about the anniversary of our church, 34th anniversary, and what an amazing thing. I know even 34 years ago, our country was headed in the wrong direction, and we were preaching even back then, trying to call folks back to the Lord and call folks to repentance. And it, if anything, has gotten steadily worse, and we find ourselves in the midst of a mess here in our country. And that's the thing that Jeremiah found his own nation in. Judah was in a mess. They had strayed far away from God. And I want us to take a look at several passages. Jeremiah 2, let's begin with verse number 13. It says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Look at chapter number 6, which chapter number 6 is going to be our text this morning. Chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." Chapter 7, look at verse 23 and 24. Chapter 7, verse 23. So, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. And then chapter number 18, verse number 15 and 16. Chapter 18, verse number 15. The Lord says here, "Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate in a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head." Now, at the time this message was delivered, it had been a long time since God had called Israel to be His precious possession. It had been a long time since the Lord had redeemed this nation from the Egyptian bondage. With a mighty outstretched arm, He freed them. The verses we've read here were delivered by the prophet Jeremiah as a warning to God's peculiar people. The Lord had been good to His people, just as the Lord has been good to us. Amen. He has. And the Lord had been good to His people in that He had been long-suffering to His people in spite of their continued wandering away from Him. They had sinned against God in that they forsook the Lord God for idols. The Lord, through the prophet, urged them to repent from their evil, to return to Him and ask for and walk in the old paths, is what He calls them, to find rest for their souls. Nevertheless, they rejected the message, continued in their wayward ways, and as a result, the judgment of God finally did come upon them, and they were carried away into captivity just as the Lord had told them He was going to do. Now, a lot has changed since this church was first organized 34 years ago. It's a different world that we live in. But can I tell you that God has not changed? God is still the same. He's the Lord. He changes not. We're living in a time in which many of the old-time principles of God's Word, our old paths, amen, have been minimized, they've been forsaken, and because they are thought to be out of touch with today's enlightened society, so many no longer view them as being valid for today. People have cast off the Word of God and embraced human philosophies instead. I believe that God's message for us today is not much different than it was to Judah and Jeremiah's day. For those who have wandered from the old paths, God says to ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. I hope that you're okay with the old paths. I hope that you're walking in the old paths and that you're clinging to the old paths. For those who are still walking in the old paths, listen, God wants us to cling to them, not forsake them. The temptation right now is to join up with the world and just cast it all off and forget it all anyway. But we must not do that. What are some of these old paths that we are still needed today? Some of the old paths that are still needed in our lives. Well, first of all, I want you to see this morning, we need the old paths of the Holy Scripture. The old paths of the Holy Scripture. Can I tell you we don't need another Bible? We don't. Part of the problem today is that people have changed their Bible to a Bible that has been changed. That's right. When you compare their Bible to our Bible, don't say the same thing. Yeah? Things that are different are not the same. They're just not. I remember many years ago when I was an associate pastor in Brunswick, Georgia, just getting early in the ministry, had not even had my first pastorate yet. But I was asked to go and fill the pulpit for a church that was looking for a pastor. It was a Southern Baptist church that I preached at over in Crescent, Georgia. The way a good preacher ought to be, I was there for Sunday school. But I wasn't teaching Sunday school. Another fellow was in the church was teaching Sunday school, and he got folks the passage that they were going to be looking at that morning. He got everybody to read it out of their Bible. Got it back around to him, and he said, "You know what?" He said, "I don't know that I know what this means." I said, "You want to know why?" I said, "Because all of this nonsense caused confusion. And God's not the author of confusion. God's in the business of us wanting to know His will and do His will, not keeping and hiding His will from us. Things that are different are not the same. There's never been anything wrong with the Bible that we have, and some say that the old KJV Bible that we cling to is out of date and we need to ditch it for one of the many updated perversions that are out on the market today. But no, thank you. I'll just cling to my old Bible." Some say the KJV Bible is just too difficult to understand in our day, and in order to understand it, we need updated, simplified version. I could understand it when I was a kid growing up. Have we dumbed down society such that we can't understand it anymore? You know? The problem is that every time man has tried to go in and update the language of the Bible, they wind up changing the doctrines of the Bible. It's not a matter of updating the old, you know, what those old words say, the things that we can understand. They don't keep it there. They go beyond that, and they try to change other things. God's not into that. The Bible is a supernatural book, and it takes the indwelling Spirit of God to understand it. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." We still need the old paths of the Holy Scripture. Number one, because the Word of God is still inspired. This is a book unlike any other book. This is a God-breathed book. Amen. That's what it is. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not inspired like a poem. Not inspired like a songwriter. That's not the kind of inspiration we're talking about. We're talking about literally God-breathed. 2 Peter 1:21 talks about the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Number two, we need the old paths of the Holy Scripture because the Word of God is still inerrant. It's still inerrant. Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." I believed, just silly enough to just believe the Bible, that we still have the preserved Word of God. We still have it. We still need the old paths of the Holy Scripture. Number three, because the Word of God is still infallible. We're fallible. Not the Word of God. Psalm 119 verse 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." We still need the old paths of the Holy Scripture because the Word of God is still invariable. In other words, it is not changing. It's unchanging. God still, the things that He says were abomination back in the days of Moses, still an abomination today. Sorry. You know? I know society has changed, and there a lot of folks have changed with society, but listen, God still says those things are abomination. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It's a settled book. Amen? It's a settled book. We need the old paths of the Holy Scripture because the Word of God is still inevitable. Matthew 24, verse 35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." They're still applicable, listen, by the way. And then number six, we need the old paths of the Holy Scripture because the Word of God is still invaluable. You know, if you get in this book, it'll cure the ills that you got in your heart and soul. It will. This book still brings conviction. This book still brings conversion. 1 Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." How do we come to an understanding of God's will for our life? How do we come to an understanding what God wants us to do? It's through the word of God. We must be in the book. We know that the Word of God is still invaluable because it still brings correction. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It's what brings about in our lives that perfecting process. You know that the Lord's desire is for you to be changed little by little into the image of Jesus Christ. One of these days we're going to be just like Christ. But while we're here, we'll be chipping away the things in our life that don't look like Christ and putting on the things that do look like Christ in our life. And we do that by the Word of God. The Word of God is still invaluable because it still cleanses. John 15, verse 3, "Now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you." It's still invaluable because it still conquers. Ephesians 6:17 says we're to take it up. It's part of our armor. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's how we conquer the wiles of the devil in our life. And then the Word of God is invaluable because it still comforts. A lot of folks are hurting, going through times of loss in their families' lives. The thing that you can comfort folks with is the Word of God. It's the only thing I know that still comforts. We don't need another Bible. And listen, we don't need another book. We've got the book that God intended for us to have. We don't need another holy book. We don't need a continuing revelation. We don't need any of that. And we don't need another book about the book. I know some commentaries can be good, but commentaries cannot replace the Word of God. Always remember that. Remember that commentary is an interpretation. They are the word of man. They are subject to error. But nothing can replace getting in the Scriptures with the aid of the Holy Spirit. Nothing can replace that. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. No, my friend, what we need to do is we need to just get in the book. Get in the book. Read the word. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, give attention to reading. Talking about reading the Bible, reading the Word of God. And then he told him to study. In 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. We're to delight in the Word. Psalm 1:1-3 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, his delight. And in the law doth he meditate day and night. So not only delight in it, we're to meditate on the word. We're to memorize the word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 11. Very little memorization of the word of God going on, especially in the ones that are coming along in our society, those that are growing up. Listen to, receive the word. James 1:21 says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Obey the word. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We got so many today who just come and listen, but the word of God makes no change in their life. That's sad. God intends for us to be changed, and we're changed by the washing of the water by the word. Talking about us as believers. We're to spread the word also. Jesus is coming. A lot of folks are lost. Mark 16:15 says, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. So we need the old paths of the Holy Scriptures. Secondly, we need the old paths of salvation by grace through faith. Amen. That's the only way to be saved. The old path of salvation is the only way of salvation. Anybody wants to take anything away from Jesus or add something to Jesus, you just messed with salvation. You've messed with the gospel. You have taken the good news right out of the gospel, because the good news is that Jesus paid it all. Amen. He died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. The old path of salvation is the only way of salvation. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, true salvation is only by the blood. Somebody tries to take the blood out of salvation, that's a problem with me. Because without shedding of blood is no remission, according to Hebrews 9:22. Hebrews 9:12 says, by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He did that with his blood. 1 Peter 1:18-19, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. True salvation is not only by the blood, but true salvation is only found in Christ. We live in a world that wants to say, well, you know, there's just many roads to get you to God, and any of them will work. Nope. No. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's not anywhere else. It's in Christ. Romans 8:11, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And then Galatians 3:26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. True salvation is only by the blood. True salvation is only found in Christ. Thirdly, true salvation is only by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, still in the scriptures. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The old path of salvation not only includes faith, but the old path of salvation includes repentance. That's a lost word in our day and time. Luke 24, verse 46 through 48 said, Jesus said unto them, he said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Jesus said, preach repentance. In fact, he said in Luke 11, verse 3 and verse 5 also, two times he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Acts 2, verse 38, and Acts 3, verse 19, Peter said, repent. Repentance involves a change of mind in three areas. A change of mind about sin, a change of mind about self, and a change of mind about the Savior. It's a change of mind that brings about a change of action. When you see yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior, when you see yourself hopelessly lost without Christ, that's when you're going to realize that you need the help that only the Savior can give. And that's when you turn and call upon the name of the Lord for His salvation. Acts 17, verse 30, Paul said that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So the old path of salvation is the only way of salvation. The old path of salvation includes repentance. And then the old path of salvation includes faith. Faith and repentance go hand in hand, by the way. Hebrews 11 is known as the Hall of Faith chapter. It talks of Old Testament saints and what they did by faith. And it says in Hebrews 11, verse number 2, that by faith, for by it the elders obtained a good report. You know what? That's how we obtain a good report too. It's by faith. Just believing God, taking God at His word. Hebrews 11, verse 13 said that all those in Hebrews 11, these all died in faith. They still died, but they died in faith. They went home to be with the Lord. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The old path of salvation is still non-negotiable. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's so many people that are walking a path that's going to take them right to hell. They're going to split hell wide open because they're choosing their own path instead of the path of the Savior. Proverbs 4, verse 19 says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. We'll have you turn to another passage of Scripture, and that is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 7. This is the Sermon on the Mount our Lord Jesus Christ preached. And a couple of things I want to draw your attention to from Christ's preaching here. Matthew 7, and we see in verse 13 and 14, that Jesus says it's a narrow way. Verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, look it down in verse number 21. Says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You know, the Father's will in heaven, by the way, is for us to believe on His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He sent. That's the will of the Father. Verse 22, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name have cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We confess to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Does Christ know us? Does the Lord know you this morning? My friend, we need the old paths of the Holy Scriptures. We need the old paths of salvation by grace through faith. And number three, we need the old path of godliness and Christ-likeness. Acts chapter 11, verse 26 says that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. It used to mean something when you call somebody a Christian. When it was first being used, it meant you were Christ-like. It meant you were like Christ, a little Christ. Now, they throw it at everything, including those who are walking the paths of error. I mean, some folks would tell you that Mormons are a Christian religion. Wrong Christ. You look at the Christ of Mormonism, it's not the same Christ of the Bible. Just not the same. They're not the same Christ. And listen, friend, we need to make sure that we follow in the right thing. And the Christians there in Antioch lived such lives that they were called Christians. And 1 John 2, 6 says, "He that saith he abideth in him," abiding in Christ, "ought himself also so to walk even as he walked." Are you abiding in Christ? Are you walking like Christ walked? In our Sunday evening services, we're doing a series of messages on doing what Jesus did. We're in our fourth message tonight. We're taking a look at Jesus walked in the Spirit. Are you walking in the Spirit? That's God's will for you. Jesus walked in the Spirit, gave us an example. Let's do what Jesus did. 1 John 4:17 says, "As He is, as Christ is, so are we in this world." Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Ephesians 5, 8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness," back when you were lost, man, when you were lost, you were darkness then. "But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We're to walk what we say that we are. Do we walk in such a way that the Christian moniker fits our lives? Or is it just the way that the world uses it? They just throw it out there and it really don't mean a whole lot. It just means that you are religious. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 through 15 says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children," are you an obedient child? "Not fashioning yourselves," it says, "according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Our behavior ought to be a holy behavior. Amen? A holy behavior. We need the old paths of godliness and Christ-likeness. Number four, we need the old paths of faithfulness. Being faithful is being true. Being faithful is being dependable. Being faithful is being where you're supposed to be and doing what you're supposed to do. Here's some of Noah Webster's definitions of the word faithful. He says, "Firm in adherence to the truth. Firmly adhering to duty. Loyal, constant in the performance of duties or services, exact in attending to commands." Are you faithful? 1 Corinthians 1:9 says that God is faithful. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Peter 4:2 says that we are to be faithful as stewards. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Luke 16, verse 10 through 12 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" Are you walking in the old time paths of faithfulness? And last of all this morning, we need the old paths of serving God. the old paths of serving God. James 2:26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." We're to show folks our faith by our works. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says that we are His workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's God's will. I can tell you, it's God's will for you to walk in good works. Are you walking in good works? Serving Him. Serving God. A lot of things have changed in 34 years. But my friend, God has not changed. God has not changed. His Son Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. God's Word has not changed, and it's not going to change. It's not going to change for you. It's not going to change for me. The paths that God would have us to walk in have not changed. Where are the paths that you are walking in taking you? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, why don't you come and receive the old time gospel? Amen. It's the only gospel there is. You know, according to Galatians chapter number 1, you know, if you move away from the gospel, then that gospel is no longer the gospel, according to what Paul said in Galatians chapter number 1. Why don't you embrace the good news of the gospel, get saved, and let's order our paths by the old paths so we live lives that are pleasing to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the folks who planted this church, and Lord, those that saw the need for the principles that we've talked about this morning to be here in this church. And Lord, you still called us to keep the same old paths. The old paths that this was started with are to be the old paths that we're to end with. And we haven't reached our end yet. You haven't called us home yet. But Lord, help us to be faithful in keeping the old paths so that we are pleasing to you. We get so caught up in the things of this world sometimes, wanting to please others. But that's not what it's about. It's not about others looking at us and thinking we're a good old Joe. It's about, what's the Lord think about me? Lord, help us to embrace the old paths such that when you come, we'll be glad that we did. When we stand before you to give an account, we'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Have your way in this invitation. There's one that's lost. Help them to come receive Jesus today. A Christian that's not walking in the old paths, Lord, help them to turn from that and get back on the straight and narrow, get back where they need to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.